Let's go to God in prayer for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would speak to us today from it. Help us to put the cares of last year behind us and the worries of the future away and focus on your word and what you have to say to us. Help us to remember that these are your words that we are reading. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel kind of bad. When I was asked to speak today, I thought, well, I should do a New Year's service because it's New Year's. And then last Sunday, I noticed we had two New Year's services as well. So you guys are going to really be pounded on the new year and looking forward. But that's the way it is. God had it in mind. I hope that we can gain from it. Our scripture today is from Hebrews 12, verses 12 through, I believe it's 17. Yes, 17. Hebrews 12, 12 through 17. I'm going to apologize right now because I'll probably throughout this talk about how Paul says this or Paul this. And as I studied for this message, I realized that it's really doubtful that Paul is the author of Hebrews. Many feel Luke was. There's other various ideas. But if I slip and say Paul, it could be that Paul wrote this. We don't know. But I'm trying not to say Paul right. Verse 12. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. There ends the reading of God's word. Are you tired this morning? Now you might say that's a silly question. Of course I'm tired. It's New Year's. But I don't mean that kind of tired. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you discouraged? Have you just finished with a really rough year? Are finances getting you down? Family troubles bothering you? Has Christmas been too much? Maybe the kids are driving you crazy. Are you tired today? This is the message that I want to speak to you who are tired. And as an illustration, I can't help but as I read this text, think of Navy SEAL training. And I've read some books and seen some movies about the Navy SEALs, and their training is just brutal. They show those guys just working and working, and they beat them up, and I have this vision of, I don't know, five or six SEALs carrying this huge log through the surf, and they're struggling and falling and fighting, and they're tired, and they can get rid of all that problem by doing one thing, ringing a bell. I'm going to be ringing this to keep you awake today. But they have that option, right? A SEAL can ring out through their training, and they push them so hard that they're tired, and they can't make it another step. And that bell is always there. You can ring out. You can quit. But the goal for the SEALs is to keep going, to take one more step, to fight on. And I believe that is the picture of our text today. The message has 3 points, past, present, and future. And the first two are really short. In fact, the past is really referring to one word in our text. Well, verse 1, therefore. Whenever we see therefore in the Bible, we have to ask, what does that point to? What is that showing us? Why is therefore there? And in this case, the writer is pointing back to the first part of this chapter. You know, there's a whole idea of a race going on, and and this beating yourself up and struggling for the prize, and the therefore that he's talking about in this text is all the troubles that you've been through. Looking back at the past year, he's saying you're tired, aren't you? Look at, I mean, these Hebrew Christians had a rough time of it. They probably were living in Rome, and they were Jewish people who converted to Christianity. Now, they had all kinds of troubles because they had their Jewish friends who were laughing at them and poking at them and really beating them up for being Christians. And then they had the Romans who looked at their religion as a terrible thing, and they were beating them up in that way. So they were getting pushed and pushed and pushed. They were persecuted. They were financially troubled. And we read in verse 12, and it's a beautiful passage, before our passage, verse 6, he quotes to these people from Proverbs 3, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son." It's the therefore of our text. He's telling the Hebrews, he's saying, you're beat up, aren't you? You look back and you've had a hard time of things, but realize why. Because God is taking care of you. And it's just like in the SEAL training program, they get beat up and they're sleepless and they're struggling and they're physically beat. But why is that? It's because the instructors are building them on for better things. And that's the same thing we face as we look back at our past year. It was a tough year, but we grew and we're better for it. And God is working in our lives. Point one. Point two is the present. This is a really cool part in our text. I like this. It says in verse 12, "Strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet." This is I have to think it's an expression that the Hebrews had heard quite often, because I see it in similar ways, it's repeated about 12 times through Scripture. But you see, these Hebrews, they're weak arm, they're hanging limp, their knees are weak. They're just like a guy who's halfway through a marathon, and they're struggling and they're weak. That's their present position. Oh, am I going to make it another step? It's interesting, this passage, and the Hebrews that are being written to here would recognize this. It's a passage from Isaiah 35. Beautiful passage. It's a passage when Isaiah is writing to the Israelites, and they're losing their land. They're being taken captive to a foreign land. Things are rough. They're as bad as they can be. And Isaiah says, "Strengthen your weak knees. Hold firm your feeble arms." Why? Because I am God, and I will see you through, and better things are coming. It's the same passage that was quoted to John the Baptist when he was sitting in prison. He was giving up on the Messiah. He thought, did I miss the boat here? Jesus, are you really the Messiah? Because I'm sitting in prison, and it doesn't look good for me. And Jesus quotes this passage a little bit later in the passage, but John would have thought back to what does Isaiah 35 say? He was standing with weak knees, feeble arms, and Jesus built him up through these very words. So how do we stand right now? My guess is we are standing weak and tired and discouraged. So now, point three, what's our path forward? This is the main part of my message today, and I have probably three sub-points to this, referring to three verbs in the following verses. But what is our path forward? Now here's what I'm thinking from a human point of view. These Hebrew Christians are weak, they're tired, they're discouraged. What would my advice to them be? Why don't you take a little time off? Take a vacation. Relax, put your feet up. Don't worry about the stresses of this world. Isn't that what we would say? But what does God tell them? That's the question. What does God tell them to do going forward in their life? The first word I want to talk about is verse 14. It's a verb, make every effort. It's a strong verb in the Greek. It's like strive, struggle. This make every effort phrase reminds me of a teacher I had in Bible college. Whenever we would say, okay, professor, I'll try to do that, he'd say, do not use that word. Try carries defeat in it. Tell me you'll make every effort. And I thought, oh, that's petty, professor. But you know he's right. We need to face this year with that kind of thought. Make every effort. Not try. Make every effort. It's like the runner in the marathon who's hit that brick wall and they can't take another step. They make every effort to do one more step and then one more step and make it to the end. It's like the Marine, or I'm sorry, the Navy guy who's in SEAL training and he's ready to ring the bell. But he makes one more step. He tries. He struggles. He fights through. Then what do we do? We're to take one more step to live in peace. And this is a word I'm sure the Hebrew people here immediately thought of: shalom. We're supposed to strive for shalom, for peace. Well, what is that? Shalom is a lot bigger than just not having war. Shalom is making order out of disorder. I really like to think of shalom as striving to make the world as it was in the Garden of Eden. And really, that's our job as Christians, right? To build God's kingdom, to make things right, to make things good again. We're to strive for shalom. We're to work at God's kingdom, to work at what He wants us to do. That's the first step. Also added to that, and this is a little bit of a troubling one, strive to be holy. What does that mean? Strive to be holy. Make every effort to be holy. Holy is set apart. It's to be as God wants you to be, really, His child, a peculiar people. We're to struggle for that. And this was important to the Hebrews because they needed to be an example to the Jewish people looking at them, saying, what is this Christian way? They need to be an example to the Romans who are saying, what do you mean there's only one God? And they were to strive to be holy so that people would look at them and see God. Now, let's go on to the next verb. Verse 15, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up. See to it. See to it is a Greek word, and I'm just going to look so I don't mess it up. Episkopeo. I'm sure you really needed to hear that, but I wanted you to get the idea of skopeo. You hear the word scope in there? See to it has this idea of focusing in like a guy with a scope and look around you, making sure that no one falls from God's grace. That's the path forward. I had visions of myself taking hikes with eight kids in mountain trails, and I was constantly looking around, scoping it out, seeing where the kids were. Did they need help? Was everything okay? That is the vision that we should have for all of us going forth this year. And I want to tell you, I think our church does very well at this. I've seen people in the pew who are hurting. I know they're hurting. And I've seen them get up and go sit next to someone else who's hurting and put their arm around them. I've seen people in this church, busy as they can be, take time to make meals for those who need them. I've seen people in this church give rides to people. It goes on over and over. But you guys have this. You've got the idea. But how do we go forward? We go forward looking for people to help. Now, that's counterintuitive. You know, we're struggling, we're tired, we're beat up. And what do? God tells us, go see who you can help. That's what we're to do. That's our demand from God. Instructions going forward. Then the other part, to this very part, is see to it that there's no bitter root. And I struggle quite a bit with what does this mean? What is the bitter root that he's talking about? And I want to tell you there are some commentaries that tell us that what we need to do is we need to go to Deuteronomy. And I believe that probably the Hebrew people, they would have seen this and thought of Deuteronomy, but I want to read Deuteronomy 29:18 and show you about the bitter root here. Let's see. I might have that wrong. Let me double check my passage. Deuteronomy 29:18. Here it is. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitterness. So what is that saying? Saying, make sure that everybody in your family, everybody in your congregation is not going after false gods. Everybody is true to the one God, and that keeps the root of bitterness away, the root that is bitter. So our command going forward, look around. See who you can help. Look around and see where there are people that need direction, that need to be straightened out, that keep evil from your midst, basically. So that's point two. The third point is a little difficult also because the text goes on to talk about Esau. And I think, well, why is this spending time with Esau right here? But here's the verb, see that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau. What is he getting at here? I believe the point he's making here is that as we go forward this year, we need to see to this. That our focus is not on temporal things. Our focus is not on a bowl of stew because we're hungry. Our focus is not on sexual immorality, something that we want, something we desire that this world is saying is really great. But our focus should be on the birthright. Our focus should be on things eternal. That's how we should go forward this year. Put aside the weight of this world, the things that are drawing your attention, and focus on God and what he wants for us. And his will is eternal glory in heaven. So I ask again, are you tired? Are you tired sitting here on New Year's Day, looking forward at the year? How are you going to face this year? Follow these three principles. Work heartily at building God's kingdom. I want you to look around you, see those that are hurting and suffering, and meet their needs, and then focus on the eternal. Now, in Hebrews 12, we can start out at this verse, and I want to conclude with this. In verse 12, verse 2, the very first part of this section, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand at the throne of God. Look at what Jesus did. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He was tired. He was worn out. He was more worn out than we will ever be. He was sweating drops of blood. His disciples, who were supposed to be helping him, fell asleep. And what did Jesus do? He kept going. He didn't ring out. He could have stopped right then, and everything would have been okay for him, right? But he carried on because his focus, he strove to do the will of God, to build his kingdom. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, God. He focused on doing God's will. And that's the way we're supposed to be. But we go on from there. He's hanging on the cross. He's tired. He's beat up. Everything is going against him. And what does he do hanging on the cross? He turns his eyes to the guy hanging next to him, right? Says, I can help you. Your belief will get you in paradise with me today. He's concerned about that guy. His eyes focus on his mother and make sure that she's cared for. His eyes are going like a scope, seeing how he can help. And more importantly, hanging on the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But his focus was on God's will for him, right? He put aside all of the troubles, all of the things that he could have had, the kingdoms that would have been his, and he focused on doing God's will. That's how we should face this year. It's a big text. It's really tough living, but it's the way that Christians should go forward. Keep going. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenges that we have in it. We know that your wisdom is far beyond ours. When it looks like it's time that we should rest, you tell us it's time we should go forth harder and stronger. We pray that you'd give us the strength to do just that. Give us your eyes to see the hurt around us and the desire to fix it. And most importantly, Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you and follow your example and your path. Help us to be good children of yours as we go forth this year. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.